the song, his lamentation due to separation from the Lord and his associates. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taught us that the highest consciousness of Krishna is in the intense feelings of separation from Him. Sometimes Krishna is called upon by the name Madan Mohan. One definition of this name is Madan means meeting and Mohan means separation. So the Supreme Lord is worshipped and loved in these two bhavas or feelings of meeting Lord Sri Krishna and that love in separation. And of the two, the great authorities in transcendental ras have taught us that the feeling of separation is a more intense emotion of love than that of being in the presence of the Lord. And the personification of such vipuralamba seva, or service in separation, is the gopis, the damsels of Brajadham. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the foremost sannyasi of all creation, has taught us that there is no finer method of worshipping the Supreme Lord than that of the gopis in their feelings of separation while living in Vrindavan. So just as when Krishna was separate from the gopis, he promised them that in the very thought of him, he would be living in his divine presence, in his bhava expansion. Because the Supreme Absolute, being absolute, is none different than the very remembrance of him. When we remember Krishna, we factually are with Krishna. In this world, when we lament due to separation from a lost loved one, we simply lament because factually that person is not present within his remembrance. That person is gone. But the Supreme Personality of Godhead can fully reciprocate with us in the very thought that enters into our mind. When we remember Krishna, Krishna is manifested within our heart. And therefore, because the remembrance of Krishna in separation is the most intense and the most all-consuming of our entire consciousness, therefore Krishna reciprocates in a more full and more satisfying manner in separation than in meeting. And the Lord's devotees, because they are surrendered to his divine energy, therefore they are of the same spiritual nature as the Lord himself. So separation from the Lord's devotees is absolutely the same as separation from the Lord himself, in that the devotee is always carrying the Supreme Lord within his heart. Therefore, when we are feeling the intense separation from his devotees, that devotee is living within our heart. And the Lord, along with him, is living within our heart. So Narottam Das Thakur is teaching us in this song how to suffer the ecstasy of separation from those devotees who have departed from our personal presence. How is it possible to suffer ecstasy? This is a great secret. A materialistic person cannot understand it. But in the path of bhakti, it can be understood. It appears externally to be suffering, that we are lamenting over someone who is gone. But internally, because of the divine love for that person that is awakened in the separation, there is a reciprocation which brings the highest ecstasy. So therefore, on the disappearance days of the great acharyas, it is the great fortune of those devotees to cultivate these sublime feelings of separation by longing to be in their divine association. Today is the disappearance day of Srila Sanatana Goswami. Sanatana Goswami, one of the most confidential and beloved associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is a great deal of information describing the story of Srila Sanatana Goswami. In the Madhya Lila, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was always very anxious to go to the holy land of Vrindavan. So, his devotees, of course, they were very anxious to try to keep him from going to Vrindavan, because they were afraid if he were to go to the holy land of Krishna's Leela, he would never return. So by so many tricks, the devotees were preventing his journey. But while the Lord was living in Jagannath Puri, one day he held his devotees by the hands and he expressed to them his deep desire to go to Vrindavan. And he described to them that factually my life is not very valuable to me. It is not difficult for me to give up my life. I have to do that anyway. But to give up the association of all of you nice devotees, that is impossible for me. Therefore, I can understand that your association is more dear to me than my very life. And this, in fact, is the way the Lord is feeling. To Krishna, he only lives for his devotees. And of course, the devotees only live for Krishna. Sadhu nam hridayam mayam, sadhu nam hridayam tvaham, maranyatha na janati naham tebya manakapi. Krishna says, because my devotees, the sadhus, because they have given up everything only for me, therefore I have given up everything only for them. Because my sadhu devotees, because they know no one but me, I know no one but them. The devotee lives exclusively for Krishna, and Krishna lives exclusively for his devotees. This is love. In this material world, we do not find such a quality of love. But the perfect love is between the Lord and his devotees. And factually, in this world, that very love is meant to be manifested amongst the devotees. Because devotees, it is their duty and responsibility to perceive the presence of God in the heart of everyone, and especially that we should see it manifesting in those sadhus who are dedicating their lives to the Lord. So therefore, Krishna consciousness really begins to become really sweet and the presence of Krishna divinely felt when devotees begin to live only for each other, only to serve one another. Not much concern for one's own life, but the concern to love and to serve. That is our life and soul. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to express these innermost feelings of his heart to his associates. And he described his deep desire to go to Vrindavan. But he said, every time I try to go, you are delaying me and finding one more excuse why I should not go. But please understand, this is the longing of my heart to go to Brajadham. So they told him, all right, then tomorrow you should go. Very, very soon you should go. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began his journey to Vrindavan. And because of the beauty of his transcendental form, and because of the graceful manner in which he would dance, and because of the pure, delightful sound of his kirtan, wherever he would go, tens and thousands of people left their homes, left their jobs, left their families, and simply wanted to follow him. You are going to Vrindavan? We will go also. So he would be going down the paths through villages and cities and countryside with his arms raised, chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And there were soon hundreds and thousands of people behind him, tumultuously roaring the holy names of Krishna. Now there was one devotee whose name was Nrsingananda Brahmachari. And he had a special type of devotion to the Lord, in that he used to be very fond of meditation and offering the Lord various opulences in meditation. And the mystical power that he had was that his love was so strong that whatever he would meditate upon, the Lord would see that. So as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing through the countryside down the roads to Vrindavan, he wanted to make his journey very comfortable. So in his mind he was sitting, and he covered the whole road with very soft flower petals, so that the Lord's feet would be in a very pleasing circumstance. And he would decorate the countryside with beautiful freshwater lakes and swans and the most auspicious fruit-giving trees. Now, no one could see this. He was just sitting in Jagannath Puri like this. And village, he knew the way to Vrindavan, village after village. He was right in front of the Lord at all times, creating this beautiful, opulent environment. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as he was dancing, he was seeing and feeling these flower petals. He was tasting the sweetness of the fruits and the trees and the fresh waters. You see, bhakti has nothing to do with our material sense perception. The Lord is within our heart, and the love in which we offer, He is accepting. He is accepting it as tangible, tangible service. You see, on the spiritual platform, everything is tangible, but it's not gross like this. It's spiritual energy. And that spiritual energy is made out of love, bhakti. It is not made out of earth, water, fire, air, and ether. And it can be seen and heard and tasted. And this was the evidence of this. So as Nrsingananda Brahmachari was meditating and decorating the road for Sri Gaura Sundar, he came to a place called Kanai Natasala. And at that point, he could not meditate any longer. It was impossible for him to decorate the road. So he came out of his meditation. And he told the devotees of Jagannath Puri, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not going to Vrindavan. They said, what? What is this? He's not. He's already left for Vrindavan. He said, he'll only get as far as Kanai Natasala, then he will come back. They said, how do you know that? He's already gone. He said, because I cannot decorate the road beyond that point, so you wait and see. That means he's not going beyond that. He will not go any farther than he lets me decorate. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, on his journey, he came to a village known as Ramakeli. Ramakeli was the capital of Bengal at the time. It was the place of residence for the great Mughal emperor and conqueror, the Nawab Hussein Shah. When Nawab Hussein Shah saw the Lord come with all of his hundreds and thousands of followers performing the kirtan, he became very fascinated by this. So he inquired from his two chief ministers, whose names happened to be Sakar Malik and Dabir Khas. Who is this person? Is he an incarnation of God? Is he a magician? I think he must be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. His beauty, his grace, his potency. So the Dabir Khas and Sakar Malik, they were also very anxious to meet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because you see, although they were the chief ministers of this great Mughal emperor, they originally were born in the most highly esteemed Saraswat Brahmin families of South India. And they were great learned scholars in the Vedic literatures, and they were men of the highest integrity in all respects. So they could understand through their analytical study of the Shastra that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was none other than the Supreme Absolute Truth who had appeared in his Yuga avatar. So they were very anxious for the darshan of the Lord. So in the middle of the night, they secretly left their posts and came to the residence of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And there they were greeted by Lord Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur, who brought them in to see the Lord. And when they came in, and they saw the beautiful form of Sri Gaura Sundar, their hearts melted with divine love. It is described that they put straws between their teeth and they wrapped cloth around their necks, which is a sign of utter submission and humility. And in this way, they bowed down and offered their prostrated obeisances, dandavats, at the lotus feet of the Lord. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he lifted them up and he embraced them. And with tears of devotion in their eyes, they began to pray to the Lord. My dear Lord, we are the most fallen amongst men. We are born in low families. We have been servants of meat eaters and sinful conquerors. We are in the most abominable condition of life. We are hopeless. In this condition, we have no other hope, no other shelter than your mercy. If you are merciful upon us, then your fame will become spread throughout the universe. My dear Lord, by the mercy of Lord Nityananda, you deliver Jagai and Madhai. And you think you got a good reputation by delivering them. But compared to us, Jagai and Madhai were quite saintly. Because although they engaged in every type of sinful activity, they never became the surrendered servants of Malechas and Javanas. But we have sold the heads of our lives to be the obedient servants of the most low-class Malechas and Javanas. Therefore, we are millions of times more degraded than Jagai and Madhai. We have no right to your mercy. For us to expect your mercy is like a dwarf to expect to touch the moon with his finger. But you are very kind. You are Patita Pavana. You are our only hope. Without you, there is no hope. Narottam Das Thakur prayed in a similar way. Patita Pavana Hetu Tava Avatara Mosam Patita Prabhu Napaibeya Patita Pavana Hetu Tava Avatara Mosam Patita Prabhu Napaibeya. My dear Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you are Patita Pavana Avatar. You have especially come to deliver the most fallen. But my Lord, if you look and search throughout the creation, you will find no one more fallen than me. Therefore, my claim to your mercy is first. This was the mood of the Birkas and Sakar Malik. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard them speaking, he began to cry. He said, "Please stop this talk. Your humility is breaking my heart." And then out of his mercy, right then, he accepted them as his disciples. He said, "I now accept you, and from this day your names will be Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami. And I want you to leave these government posts as soon as possible and meet me in Vrindavan." Huh? So they were very happy. But then Sanatan Goswami returned. And he said, "My dear Lord, I am most fallen and sinful. I have no right to give you any advice, but still I must reveal to you what is in my heart. This Nawab Hussain Shah, he is a very envious man. And if you do not leave here very soon, he may cause you great trouble and your followers. But my Lord, I have something else I want to tell you. That Vrindavan is a very solitary place. If you go there with so many hundreds and thousands of people following you, you will not be able to really experience the peace of Vrindavan. And not only that, the Brijbasis, they will think that you are some cheap magician trying to show off how many followers you have. Better if you go to Vrindavan alone, or at the most with one or two others. Then you will be able to really enjoy and appreciate what is Brajadham." So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted Sanatan's advice, but he continued on in his journey. And some days later, they came to the village of Kanai Natasala. And there, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again began to reflect upon the words of Sanatan Goswami. And he decided what Sanatan is saying is true. I should not go to Vrindavan with so many people. I should go alone. So then he announced to the devotees that I am going back to Jagannath Puri. And, of course, Nrsingananda Brahmachari, he was right. So when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went back to Jagannath Puri, he was thinking, how is it possible for me to go to Vrindavan without acquiring huge crowds of people? So he decided the only way is if I secretly leave Jagannath Puri and I travel through the forests and the jungles where no one will see me. So his most intimate associates, he explained to them his plan. And then he went to the Jagannath temple to get the divine blessings of Lord Jagannath, Balaram and Subhadra. And in the darkness of the night, he began his journey. The next morning, when all the devotees woke up, they all came to the residence of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to meet him, but he was not there. Where is he gone? They were looking in all directions. They were crying, they were fainting. They could not live a moment without the Lord of their life. And at that time, Swarup Damodar explained to them that it is too late. He has gone to Vrindavan. And everyone fell unconscious. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that is a long story, began to travel through the Jarikanda forest on the path to Vrindavan. Meanwhile, Sanatan Goswami and Rupa Goswami, they were meditating on the divine plan of the Lord. So, Rupa Goswami, he was a very rich man. He decided that he was just going to give up his government post. So what he did is he took his wealth and he just disappeared. And the Nawab Hussain Shah was very angry. But Sanatan, his older brother, was the chief minister. He was the prime minister. And therefore, as long as he had sought Sanatan, everything was all right. So the Nawab Hussain Shah did not persecute or prosecute Rupa Goswami for his disappearing. Rupa and his brother Anupam simply left that place on their way to Vrindavan to meet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Meanwhile, Sanatan Goswami continued on in his service to the government. And the Nawab Hussain Shah was gathering his armies together. He was about to march into the province of Orissa to conquer the great king, Maharaj Prataparudra, and expand his kingdom. And he was expecting that Sanatan Goswami would take care of all of the maintenance of the kingdom while he was away. But meanwhile, Sanatan was not coming to his services day after day after day. He was sending reports that he was feeling very sick and he could not attend to these very difficult governmental responsibilities. So the Nawab Hussain Shah was becoming very disturbed. So he sent one of his agents to find out just how sick Sanatan was. So they came to Sanatan's house. And there Sanatan was sitting in a group of great Vaishnav Brahmins. And they were all reciting Srimad Bhagavatam and having kirtan together all day. So this news came to the Nawab Hussain Shah. And he became very angry. So he personally went to the home of Sanatan Goswami. And right in the middle of the Bhagavad discourse, the Nawab Hussain Shah trampled into the room. And in a fury of anger, what is this? You have said you are sick? I have treated you like my own son, like my own brother. I have given you wealth. I have given you position. I have given you the power to rule my entire kingdom. I have treated you with such love and affection. And you are disobedient I am about to go to Orissa to conquer the lands. You must take up your position and rule the kingdom. Sanatan Goswami, I have no longer any interest in this government position. In fact, of this day, I resign. Nawab Hussain Shah said, I do not accept your resignation. If you're not at work tomorrow morning, you will be in jail. Sanatan Goswami told him that God is in your heart. Whatever you feel that God wants you to do to me, you do it, but I am a sadhu now. You cannot expect any other service from me. So the Nawab Hussain Shah, in a fit of anger, just left that place. And then he ordered his soldiers, arrest Sanatan and put him in jail. So Sanatan Goswami was apprehended and put into prison. And then the Nawab Hussain Shah left to conquer more lands. So Sanatan was thinking, how is it possible to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu now? And then he received a message from Rupa Goswami. Rupa Goswami kept many gold coins with a grocer just for the purpose of emergencies. And those coins were delivered to Sanatan Goswami. So Sanatan Goswami, one day, he approached the jailkeeper, who happened to be a Muslim by religion. Sanatan was very expert in the art of diplomacy. He said, my dear sir, you are a very kind, compassionate, and gentle man. And not only that, but you are a great scholar in the great religious scripture, the Quran. You know, I have helped you in so many ways in the past. But now I have taken the life of a mendicant. And because of that, I am in prison. But my desire is to go on holy pilgrimage to the holy city of Mecca to worship the Lord of our life. So, you know, it will be a very pious and religious act to free a mendicant and allow him on this pilgrimage. And besides that, here is so many thousands of gold coins, just in case you need it. So the Muslim jailkeeper, he was thinking, even though this person was utterly illiterate and a very low-class man, it wasn't very difficult to convince him that he was a very gentle, honorable, saintly scholar. By these praising words, his heart became very soft. And as Sanatan was praising him, tears began to flow down his beard. And he said, yes, what you're saying is true. It certainly is true, everything you're saying. But the Nawab Hussain Shah, he will punish me very bad if you are not here when he returns. And Sanatan Goswami said, no, not a very difficult problem. He said, you just tell him that I went to the Ganges to pass stool. And while I was at that place to pass stool with my chains and my balls and everything connected, I jumped in the Ganges and drowned. And then the waves washed me away. He will believe this story. And as he was saying that, he handed him several thousand more gold coins. Now help me on my pilgrimage to Mecca. So the jailkeeper, out of the goodness of his heart, he cut the chains from Sanatan Goswami and helped him across the Ganges in the middle of the night. So Sanatan Goswami traveled So he came to a very, very dangerous hilly tract of land. This place was famous for dacoits and thieves and dense jungle. And it was almost impossible for an ordinary man to survive to the other side. So he stayed at one guest house that night. It was an inn. And the innkeeper, Sanatan, approached and told him that I am a mendicant and I want to get across this hilly tract. Kindly let me spend the night here and, if possible, have someone help me to travel through to the other side in the morning. There was a palmist who was living at that hotel, and he whispered in the ear of the innkeeper that this man has 8 gold coins. Ah, so we will kill him and steal his money. Ah. So the innkeeper turned to Sanatan and said, "Ah, you want to be my guest? Ah, I will give you all facilities. I will give you nice food. You can cook it and have a nice meal. Not only that, but I'll give you a nice room, special accommodation. Ah, and I will give you all assistance tomorrow morning." So Sanatan began to reflect, why is he being so nice to me? You see, Sanatan, although he was a simple sadhu, he had the past of being a prime minister. So he was very sharp in evaluating everyone's motives. So he said, there's no innkeeper is so nice to a sadhu like me. There's no reason. I'm just a beggar. He must want something from me. He must have some motivation. So Sanatan turns to his servant, Ishan, and he said, do you have any gold? And Ishan said, yes. Sanatan said, how much? He said, I have 7 gold coins. Sanatan, he said, why have you brought this death knell with you? Do you know what a death knell is? Before a funeral, they ring a bell which announces death. That is called the death knell. So Sanatan accepted that carrying money through places like this was like sounding the death bell. So he said, give me that money. Then he went back to the innkeeper and he said, my dear sir, I happen to have 7 gold coins. I want to give it to you. I don't want it. Please accept it. And the innkeeper, he said, why, you're giving it to me? You are a very honest and noble man. I have to confess to you, tonight, within the next few hours, I was going to kill you to steal this money. But since you've so voluntarily and charitably given it to me, now I do not even want it. You keep it. And not only that, but I'll help you get through the forest, and I'll be very nice to you. And Sanatan Goswami told him, if you don't take this money, somebody else will kill me and take it. So please do me a favor and keep it. So the next morning, the innkeeper's servants helped Sanatan Goswami through that hilly tract of land. And then Sanatan turned to Ishan, his servant, and said, do you have any more gold? And Ishan said, I have 1 more coin. And Sanatan said, you take that coin and you go back to Bengal, go home. I am traveling from this point on alone. So Sanatan traveled through the Jarikanda forest. And then he came to one village, Haridwara. Haridwara. And in this village, the brother-in-law of Sanatan Goswami, who was the minister of another king, happened to be residing. His brother-in-law's name was Srikanta, and the king had given him 300,000 gold coins to buy horses for the kingdom. in this particular village. So he was a very wealthy man. So while he was sitting on his high seat, he happened to see Sanatan. So that night, Shrikanta very secretly came to where Sanatan was staying. And he said, "My dear Sanatan, you are a prime minister. Why, you are in rags?" After all, Sanatan was living in jail for a long time and then traveling through the forest. He was wearing torn rags. Sanatan told him the whole story of what he had been through and what was his goal. So Shrikanta said, "Well, why don't I give you fresh clothes and you stay here for 2 days and I'll give you some very good facilities to get cleaned up and everything else." Sanatan said, "I will not even stay 2 minutes in this place. I'm on my way to Vrindavan." So Shrikanta gave him a very nice, valuable woolen blanket. And Sanatan proceeded. And then he came to the holy city of Banaras. And there Sanatan Goswami learned that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was residing at the house of Chandrasekhar. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was just on his way back from Vrindavan. So Sanatan Goswami went to the house of Chandrasekhar, and with great humility he sat outside of his courtyard very quietly. And Sanatan Goswami turned to Chandrasekhar Acharya and he said, "There is a very, very great devotee outside. Please bring him in." So Chandrasekhar went, looked around, came in, said, "I'm sorry, my lord, there's no great devotees outside." Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Is there anyone outside?" He said, "There's one Muslim beggar outside." And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Ah, bring him in." So then he brought him in. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw Sanatan Goswami, and Sanatan Goswami saw Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, great love awakened in both of their hearts. And Sanatan offered his prostrated obeisances. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu picked him up and embraced him. And as he embraced him, ecstatic symptoms began to manifest on both of their bodies. They began to tremble. Their hair started standing on end. Rivers of tears were flowing from their eyes. And from their mouths were coming unintelligible sounds of ecstatic emotion. Choked up. And Chandrasekhar was simply watching this with great astonishment. And Sanatan said to the Lord, "My dear Lord, why are you touching me? I am a low-born, filthy, low-class sinner." Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "I am touching you for my own purification. Saints of your caliber, our holy place is personified." And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu turned to Chandrasekhar and said, "Please shave him and clean him nicely. Get him nice clothes, fresh clothes." Chaitanya Mahaprabhu called at that time the condition of Sanatan Daravesh, because he had a beard, he had long hair, and his clothes were very torn and dirty. So Chandrasekhar clean-shaved Sanatan. And then he went to give him new clothes, and Sanatan said, "No, give me old clothes. Clean but old." So then Sanatan came in to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when he saw him nice, shaved up, and looking like a Vaishnav, he was very happy. And in the purport, Prabhupada describes that the word that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used for the condition of Sanatan was Daravesh. And the Sanskrit word Daravesh in English equals hippie. He said, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not like to see these beards and long hairs. He liked to see him nice shaved up. So he was very... So then Sanatan was living, but he noticed that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was from time to time looking very mysteriously at the nice blanket that Sanatan had been given by his brother-in-law. So Sanatan was thinking, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu does not like me having this nice blanket. Ah. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu introduced him to Tapan Acharya. Tapan Acharya, Tapan Mishra, he was a great devotee who met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu during his stay in Bangladesh before he was a sannyasi. At that time, Tapan Mishra approached Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with a very great deep desire to understand what is pure devotional service and what is the goal of life. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at that time accepted him as his intimate disciple and sent him to Banaras. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would always take his meal. What is pure devotional service and what is the goal of life? And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at that time accepted him as his intimate disciple and sent him to Banaras. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would always take his meals at the house of Tapan Mishra. So Tapan Mishra, being a very good Brahmin, he offered to cook daily for Sanatan Goswami. But Sanatan Goswami said, No, I am a mendicant. I cannot eat any full meal at any one Brahmin's house. I will do madhukari. I will go house to house, door to door, and beg little by little. So one day, Sanatan was at the bank of the Ganges. And he saw an old mendicant with an old, beat-up, torn quilt. And he had just washed it out in the Ganges, and he was laying it out on the ground to dry. And he went to this mendicant, and he said, I would like to exchange. You give me your torn old quilt and I will give you this very nice expensive blanket. And the mendicant thought, why are you joking with me? Why are you making fun of me because of my poverty? You should be more respectful than that. Master said, No, I am serious. Take this nice blanket. Give me your quilt.
So the Brahmin or the mendicant exchanged. So then Sanatan Goswami came before Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked, Sanatan, where is your nice blanket? And Lord Chaitanya, or Sanatan, described what had happened. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very satisfied.
He said, today you have severed your last material attachment. He said, if you are doing madhukari, begging door to door like a sannyasi, and you're wearing a nice, opulent blanket, what will people think of you? They will simply make jokes about you. And in this way, you will find no peace in this life or the next. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very pleased that Sanatan was taking his vow of renunciation so seriously. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sat for 1 month with Sanatan Goswami and instructed him in the nature of pure devotional service. He explained to Sanatan all the knowledge, and by his mercy he gave him all the realizations by which he can spread the cult of bhakti and direct devotees for all times to come by his writings and by his example. And there are several chapters of Chaitanya Charitamrita which describe the beautiful teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Sanatan Goswami at this time. And at the conclusion of these teachings, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent Sanatan to Vrindavan. But he told him that you should come back to Jagannath Puri in the near future to meet with me. He said, I have already sent Rupa Goswami and your brother Anupam to Vrindavan. I had met them at Prayag
And for 2 weeks, I instructed them in the science of devotional service.
So as Sanatan was going to Vrindavan, Rupa Goswami was coming back. Sanatan was going by the back roads through the forests, and Rupa Goswami was coming by the main road. So in this way, they missed each other. And Sanatan lived in Vrindavan for some time in the company of one great devotee named Subhuti Rai. You know the story of Subhuti Rai. Subhuti Rai was a government minister as well. And he had one servant. And he treated his servant just like his own son. He was a young man. And sometimes the love of a father is to punish the son. So one time the servant was misbehaving, so Subhuti Rai whipped him. This was when he was young. Later on, the servant was married. Subhuti Rai retired when he was older from his service to the government, and his servant became the governor. Now, one day, this man's wife saw scars on her husband's back, and this was interfering with her sense gratification. There is a saying in English, "Hell hath no wrath as a woman scorned." Huh? I will not try to give a commentary on that, but in the Brahmacharya Ashram, I often give commentaries about this. But anyways, this woman was a nice example of this verse. She was very angry. That this man, he has done this to my husband's body? The body that I am enjoying? Look what he has done to? He must be punished. He must be killed. And her husband was saying, "But how can I kill him? He's like my father. He loves me. He's given me so much. If you don't kill him, then I'm going to leave you. I'll take the kids with me." Huh? Sounds familiar? Every husband hears this from time to time, right? At least in America. I don't know how it is in India. They're probably a little more persuasive in India than subtle. But he said, "No, how can I kill him? I know what I'll do. What's worse than death is if I ostracize him from the Hindu community." And in those days, India was under Muslim rule. If someone were to sprinkle you with water that was from a Muslim's drinking pot, then you were considered so contaminated that you could never go into a temple again, and you were considered an outcast and untouchable. So they took this, he had one of his servants go up to Subhuti Rai and say, "Muslim pot, he drank." And he sprinkled him. And then Subhuti Rai was ostracized. He was casteless. So he was feeling great distress. "What should I do? My God, how can I become a good Hindu again?" So he went to many sadhus and was asking. One sadhu said, "You were sprinkled by water from Muslim pot. Get away from me. There's nothing I can do for you." And another was more compassionate. He said, "This is a very serious thing. But there's still some hope for you. What you should do is take ghee and make it burning, smoking hot. And when it's smoking like anything, drink it all." "But if I drink burning ghee, I will die." He said, "You will die. But because ghee is pure, in your death you will become purified and you will take your next birth as a Hindu." So he was, perhaps there was a better way. So then he met Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he told him what happened. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he smiled. He said, "Oh, don't worry, just chant Hare Krishna." You just chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. You will not only become Hindu, you will become Brahmin, you will become Vaishnav, you will become Paramhamsa. That's all that is required. So what you should do is chant Hare Krishna and go to Vrindavan and always serve the Lord's devotees. So Subhuti Roy took this as instruction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as his life and soul. So he was constantly chanting the holy names of Krishna and he went to Vrindavan. And when he arrived in Vrindavan, he had no money, nothing. How was he going to serve the devotees? So what he would do is he would go into the forest every day and pick up wood from the ground. And then he would go to the market and sell the wood and get little money. And with that money, he would buy rice and oil. Not cooking oil, massaging oil. Because he knew that Bengali devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when they came to Vrindavan, there were two problems. One is Bengalis like to eat rice. And in Vrindavan, all you get is these big, thick braja rotis. Huh? And all of the Bengalis were getting indigestion. So therefore, he would buy nice yogurt. They may have had Isabgul in those days. That is not mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita. But he would give them nice yogurt to pacify their stomachs, and then he would give them nice rice, and they would be very happy. And because their bodies from walking so much were very sore, and because he knows Bengalis like massages. Have you ever been to Kaligat, where they, all these guys massaging? So he would give them nice massages. And then he would give them nice place to... And then he would personally take them on the tours of all the 12 forests of Brajadham. And in this way, his life was dedicated simply to pleasing and satisfying Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's devotees. In this way, he perfected his life. So Sanatana Goswami was living with Subhuti Roy. Subhuti Roy showed him all the 12 forests of Vrindavan, showed him all the places of Lord Sri Krishna's Leela. And then Sanatana was thinking, now I must return to Jagannath Puri to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu according to his instruction. And also I must meet with my brother Rupa Goswami. So he began his travel back to Puri. As he was traveling back, he was traveling through the Jariganda forest. And most days he was fasting. One day, he drank very contaminated water. Even in those days, India had problems with water. Huh? So, he got a very serious disease, a skin disease. It was painful beyond imagination. Sores grew on his body, and blood and pus were oozing from these sores. Every part of his body was covered. And these sores were not only racking with pain, but they were exceedingly itching. And his body was ever gross in contamination due to blood, pus, and other moistures flowing. They smelled very bad. So Sanatana Goswami was in a very distressful condition of life. And he was continuing on his walk to Jagannath Puri. And he was thinking, what is the use of my life? What is the use of this body? First of all, I'm low class. I've been a servant of the Muslims, of the meat eaters, of the Malechas and the Yavanas. And now I have this abominable body. When I get to Jagannath Puri, I'm not going to be allowed in Jagannath's temple. I don't want to go near Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I'll contaminate him. I have a good idea. At the famous Ratiyatra festival, in the presence of the divine form of Sri Jagannath Dev, and before the beautiful dancing form of Sri Gauranga. I will throw this wretched body under the wheel of the rat cart and give up my life. Then perhaps, under these conditions, I will get a good birth in my next life. So this was his conviction as he went into Puri. So when he got to Jagannath Puri, he inquired as to where was the hut of Srila Haridas Thakur. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with his own hands had given Haridas Thakur a place of residence called Siddha Bakula. And there Haridas Thakur would chant 3 lakhs of the name of Krishna every day with firm vow. So Sanatan Goswami approached, and when he saw Haridas Thakur, the two of them, when they met, were in great jubilation. They embraced one another. And Sanatan, his first words to Haridas was, "Where is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? When will I meet him?" And Haridas said, "Ah, at this time every day, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes right here to meet with me." And right at that moment, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. And both of them offered their prostrated obeisances. And Lord Chaitanya picked up Haridas and embraced him. And then he said, "Who is this?" Haridas said, "This is Sanatan Goswami. He has come to see you." And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very pleasingly surprised. And he picked up Sanatan and he was about to embrace him. And Sanatan said, "No, my lord, please do not touch me. I am very low and fallen and sinful, and my body is racked with pain and itching sores and blood and horrible smelling moistures coming out of these infectious sores. Please do not touch me." And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very affectionately embraced him. And as he embraced him, all this blood started to smear all over the beautiful golden form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then they began to speak. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Sanatan, that you know, first Sanatan explained his whole adventure of escaping jail and everything that took place in his life. The Lord is always very happy to hear the pastimes of his devotees, just as his devotees are always very pleased to hear the pastimes of the Lord. So then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "You know, Rupa Goswami, and he has just left this place a couple weeks before. He has gone to Bengal to divide his wealth amongst his family members. Then he is going back to Vrindavan. But I want to inform you that your brother Anupam, he died on his way here. He was a great devotee of Lord Ramchandra, and he has attained the supreme abode of Lord Ram." And then Sanatan began to remember his brother. He said, "You know, Rupa Goswami and I would often come together, and we would approach Ballabha, our brother. You know, he was a devotee of Ramchandra from the very moment of his birth. But we used to try to convince him that do not you know that the pastimes of Lord Sri Krishna are the essence of all sweetness? We are your older brothers. We are constantly hearing from Bhagavatam and chanting the names of Krishna. So you should be like us." So Anupam, who is also known as Ballabha, he said, "You are my gurus. Whatever you say, I must do. So if it is your desire, you initiate me in Krishna mantra." So they initiated him in the Krishna mantra. And the next morning, Ballabha approached his two brothers. He said that last night, I spent the whole night crying. Every time I tried to chant the name of Krishna, the beautiful form of Ram would come into my mind. to think of chanting any other name but Ramchandra is so painful that it breaks my heart, and it's impossible for me to do. So what should I do? My only prayer is you finally bless me that I never forget the lotus feet of Sri Ram. And then Rupa and Sanatan embraced him and said, ah, you have proven the chastity and the faithfulness of your love for the Lord of your life, Sri Raghunath. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, upon hearing this, became very pleased. And he explained that a similar incident took place with his devotee, Murari Gupta. And then the Lord explained the nature of the love between the Lord and his devotees. He said, blessed is that devotee who never gives up the service and the worship of his Lord. And blessed is that Lord when his devotees does give up that service, he drags him back by his hair. So in this way, Sanatan Goswami and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had a very intimate reunion. And Sanatan told Haridas Thakur that you please kindly take care of all the needs of Sanatan, and Sanatan will stay here with you. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left. And every day Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after visiting the Jagannath Temple, would come to the Siddha Bakula, the residence of Haridas Thakur, to bring the finest Mahaprasad from Jagannath for Sanatan and Haridas to enjoy. You see, Haridas Thakur and Sanatan Goswami both considered themselves too fallen to enter into the Jagannath temple. And not only that, but the priests would not let them in anyway, because it was against the etiquette. Haridas was born a Muslim, and Sanatan was a servant of the Muslims. So at that time, the priests, like today, somewhat, so they never even tried to transgress this etiquette. But it is described that their love for Lord Jagannath was so great that although they would not even attempt to come in to see Jagannath, every day Jagannath himself in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would come to see them, to personally bring them prasad and give them his intimate darshan. So one day, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu looked at Sanatan. He said, my dear Sanatan, where do you get this nonsense idea of committing suicide? If one could attain Krishna by giving up his body, I would give up my body millions of times without hesitation. But one can only attain Krishna by pure devotional service, and there is no other way. This idea of suicide is in the mode of ignorance. It is not supported by the Shastra or the Sadhus. Besides that, you have already surrendered your body to me. What is the nonsense mentality of a man who wants to destroy another person's property? This is the mentality of a thief. And then he looked at Haridas Thakur. He said, evaluate this man's thinking. He has surrendered his body, his mind, his soul, his life to me, and now he wants to destroy the body he has given to me. He should be punished. Haridas Thakur was very pleased to hear all this. He said, my dear Lord, this is all the divine leela between you and your devotees. That is all I know. So Sanatan began to explain, but just look at me, I'm useless. I'm a completely useless person. What use do you have for me? I'm simply suffering.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, your body, I have very big plans for.
I want you to go to Vrindavan. I want you to study the scriptures and write books explaining the essence of all the Vedas,
which is bhakti.
I want you to write books explaining specifically and exactly how Vaishnavas should behave at every step of their life and what is proper etiquette. I want you to establish temple worship, and I want you to excavate all the lost holy places of Lord Sri Krishna's Leela. And I want you to set by your own example the proper standard of one in the renounced order of life. It is my dream to go to Vrindavan to do these things. But my mother wants me to stay in Jagannath Puri. Therefore, what I cannot do, I will do through you. And you want to destroy what is so dear and important to me? So Sanatan began to think that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not in favor of my plan of committing suicide. So he decided to live on. So soon after that, the Rath Yatra took place. And all the great devotees from Bengal came to meet with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and to dance with him and chant the holy names. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And when Sanatan Goswami saw the beautiful dancing and chanting of Lord Sri Gaurasundar, and when he saw the beautiful kirtan of his devotees, he was struck with wonder. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu introduced Sanatan Goswami to all the great Vaishnavas. Nityananda Prabhu, Adwaita Acharya, Srivas Thakur, Vakreshwar Pandit, and so many dozens and dozens and dozens of the eternal associates of Sri Sri Gauranitai. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was explaining to Sanatan, according to etiquette, how to worship and offer respect to each one of them personally. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was pleading with his devotees to kindly bestow their heartfelt blessings upon Sanatan Goswami. And in this way, Sanatan Goswami was known by all to be most confidential and intimate, loving servant of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Haridas Thakur spoke to Sanatan and he said, you are most fortunate. How Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has accepted your body as his own property. How he wants to send your body to Vrindavan to fulfill his intimate mission. How he loves you and how the devotees love you. And Sanatan Goswami, this is all his causeless infinite mercy upon the most unqualified. So time went on, and Sanatan Goswami was enjoying the wonderful associate of the Lord and his devotees. And there was one occasion where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was taking lunch in one garden called the Yameshwara Garden, month of May and June, the hottest month of the year. And lunch was being served at noon. So Sanatan began to walk by the way of the beach. And as he was walking, the sand was hot as fire. And his feet were being burnt and blistered. But because he was in such loving expectation of seeing Sri Chaitanya, he did not even notice that there was any inconvenience. And when he finally arrived at the garden, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had always already completed his lunch and was taking rest. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ordered Govinda, his servant, to give the remnants to Sanatan. So when Sanatan Goswami concluded partaking of the remnants of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Lord awoke. And he came before Sanatan. And he was so happy to see him. He said, "Sanatan, by which way did you come?" Sanatan said, "By the way of the beach." And Lord Chaitanya said, "But the beach, the sand is very hot and blistering. Your feet are all blistered. Why did you not come by way of the Singhadwara gate? It is nice and cool." He said, "My Lord, how could I come by the way of the Singhadwara gate? The priests of Lord Jagannath had at all times coming in and out of the temple, bringing in and out offerings to the Lord. If I were to go by there, there is a chance that one of them may have touched my abominable, lowly, wretched form. And then they would go on the altar with Lord Jagannath. What an offense that would be. And how offensive that would be. What a disgrace. How sinful. Therefore, rather than take such a risk, I have come by the beach. But my Lord, I did not feel any pain. The thought of meeting you was the only thought in my mind." From this incident, Sanatan Goswami is considered by all the great acharyas to be the supreme embodiment of humility. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, actually, after he met Sanatan at this Yameshwar garden, he again came to embrace Sanatan. Sanatan said, "My Lord, please do not embrace me. This breaks my heart. I'm so contaminated." And the Lord again embraced him by force. So Sanatan began to think that this is very bad. The next day, Jagadananda Pandit came to his home. And Sanatan was saying to Jagadananda that every day the Lord embraces me. I've come to Jagannath Puri for my purification. But since I've been here, I cannot go to see Jagannath. And every day the pus and blood from my body is smearing on the beautiful form of Gaur Sundar. I think I'm going to go to hell for this. What should I do? Jagadananda, he said, "The Lord has already told you should go to Vrindavan. So why should you continue committing these offenses to the Lord? You should just go to Vrindavan very soon. And there do your service." Sanatan was thinking, that's the answer. So the next day, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came. And sure enough, he stretched out his arms to embrace Sanatan. Sanatan said, "No, my Lord, please don't." And Lord Chaitanya embraced him. So they began to discuss matters. And Sanatan revealed that Jagadananda has given me good advice, that I should go to Vrindavan very soon. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became very angry. "Who is this Jagadananda, an impudent, naughty boy, to instruct you, who are fit to be the guru of the universe? You are fit to be his spiritual master, and he is instructing you? You are so great and exalted that I even accept you as my advisor. I cannot tolerate the impudence of this neophyte to tell you what to do." And when Sanatan heard this, he became very sad. He said, "Jagadananda is the most fortunate man on earth. How intimate you love him. The sweetness of your relationship with with Jagadananda is something very wonderful. But me, all I am good for is tasting the bitterness of your praise, which is only suitable for an outsider." Described, "For intimate associates you chastise,
and you all these inconceivable leelas.
But for an outsider, you just tell him so many nice things.
And so then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became very embarrassed when he heard this. He said, no, you are not an outsider. You are insider.
What I'm saying is true. Your knowledge of the scripture is fit to deliver the whole world. You are so pure that I even come to you for my purification. You are so many times greater than Jagadananda or anyone. I am simply presenting honestly what is in my heart. Do not think in terms of outsider and insider. Everyone has their own rasa, their own relationships with the Lord. And then Sanatan began to reveal his mind. My Lord, I am committing so many offenses to you every day.
Ah, and Lord Gaurasundar revealed his mind.
He said, my dear Haridas, Sanatan, you are like my little children. Please know that a parent never accepts an offense from a child. Said Sanatan, you are a devotee. You have surrendered your life to Lord Krishna. Therefore, your body is spiritual because it's always engaged in Krishna's service. So how can you want me to see it materially? Your body is pure spiritual energy. And even if you want to say from the material point of view, then it's abominable. I am a sannyasi. I am not allowed to see things according to what is pleasing and what is displeasing. So if I were to discriminate between good smelling or bad smelling, then I would break the principles of sannyas. And besides that, I will tell you a secret. A secret only mothers know. When a child, baby, passes stool all over its body, because the love that the mother has for the child, she very happily and joyously cleanses that child. And to her, the baby's stool smells sweet like sandalwood oil. Maybe in India it's like that, but in America it's not like that. So Lord Chaitanya, he said, Sanatan, your body, to me, it is pure. When I embrace it, he said, I have to tell you, I smell the sweetness of Chatusmada, which is a mixture of sandalwood, camphor, saffron, and musk. A guru and musk. It is a special preparation prescribed in the Garuda Purana to offer the deity of the Lord. And the fact was that whenever Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would embrace the body of Sanatana Goswami, his sores would smell like sandalwood oil. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu reached out his arms and by force again embraced Sanatana Goswami. And at that moment, all the sores disappeared. Sanatana's body became golden and effulgent like a celestial angel. And Haridas Thakur watched all this and he explained, this, my Lord, is your pastime. It was by your arrangement that Sanatan drank contaminated water. It was by your arrangement that Sanatan
contracted this disease.
It was your arrangement that for over a year he had to suffer this disease, just to test him.
And now, by your arrangement, you have been given him the most beautiful celestial form. Just as you have done to Vasudev the leper, you embraced him and cured his leprosy. I can understand that Sanatana Goswami is the most fortunate man on earth, that he has obtained your divine mercy. And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left that place. And Haridas Thakur and Sanatan simply spent the rest of the day in tears of love, glorifying the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And shortly after that, Sanatan Goswami was sent to Vrindavan. And while he was there, he established the great temple, the first major temple in all of Vrindavan, Sri Sri Madan Mohan Mandir. And there are many wonderful stories of the life of Sanatan Goswami while he was living in Vrindavan. But he spent the rest of his life in that holy land, executing the divine mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when you go to Vrindavan today, most of the holy places were rediscovered and excavated by Sanatan Goswami. Day and night he would travel through the groves of Vrindavan, and by the mercy of Sri Gauranga, he was given the vision of Sri Krishna's divine Leela with Srimati Radharani. And as he was seeing these divine pastimes, he was making it known to the other Vaishnavas and establishing places of worship in those spots. Sanatan Goswami has also written one very beautiful commentary on the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which explains in essence the meaning of all Lord Sri Krishna's pastimes. He also wrote the great book Hari Bhakti Vilas, which describes the proper etiquette in which every devotee should live and the proper way of worshipping the deity of the Lord. Indeed, Sanatan Goswami wrote many, many books, which are the great treasure houses of spiritual knowledge containing the divine jewel of bhakti. And by his own example, he taught us how to live in complete absorption in the thought of Krishna, and how to live the highest life of pure devotion. So by remembering the qualities, the life and the teachings of these great saints, we are given direction, we are given inspiration, and we are given the strength by which we can carry on in our devotional service. And we should know that factually, Sanatan Goswami and the other Goswamis, they were the intimate maidservants of Srimati Radharani in Goloka Vrindavan. And they had descended to this world only to assist the Lord in his divine Leela. And just as the Lord is ever present in his remembrance, so similarly, these Nitya Siddha, eternal associates of the Lord, they are ever present whenever we remember them. Narottam Das Thakur sings, Rupa Raghunatha Pade. He's praying to the six Goswamis that by attaining the blessings of the six Goswamis, by remembering their divine Leela and meditating on their divine instructions, one can be given entrance into the divine Leela of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. This is the perfection of our life. come together to hear the glories of the great devotees of the Lord.
You see, when we learn to take pleasure in hearing the glories of such great devotees, then we lose all taste for idle gossip, mundane talk, and the typical critical way that we like to think and talk about others. The greatest disease is idle gossip. But in Kali Yuga, it is a very strong tendency. And the only way to mitigate that tendency is by filling our minds, filling our ears, and filling our lips with the praise of the great souls. Param drisva nivartate. For one who finds pleasure in praising the qualities of the great devotees of the Lord, to hear or to speak the faults of another is utterly distasteful.